Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, one of my favorites from the other side of the river, Dave Wright is a fixture. And if you don't know who he is, you do know who he is because you've heard him doing PA several times. You've maybe witnessed his work. He's at Hamline University, sports information director. And today he is a retired sports information director. He, as of October 31st, he decided to hang up the clipboard and the stat sheets and the press releases and move on to a new chapter. But he served it so well in so many capacities, and it doesn't mean he's not going to be still doing a number of things. But I thought it was a great time to touch base with a fixture there from St. Paul. Dave Wright, congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Take me. A lot of people know of Dave Wright, and they know you, and they met you over the time. Take me back. Where did you grow up, and what was your first sports job?
Well, I grew up in Detroit, and so I tell everybody I'm an immigrant. but I went to high school. It's a long story, but I ended up going to high school in Windsor, Ontario, at a boarding school. And while I was there, I wanted to play high school hockey badly, but the only problem was that's how I played it was badly. And our coach was, in fact, my high school baseball coach was the Twins' original third baseman, Reno Batoria. He was my homeroom teacher.
He was your coach?
Yeah, he was
in Canada.
He lived there. He had played for the Tigers, and when he played for the Tigers, he lived in Windsor. Which is just, you know, if you ever want to win a bar bet, Windsor is the only Canadian city south of the United States because it's actually under Detroit.
And there are people that are in Detroit that will go to Windsor for the wrong reasons, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, you went there for fireworks.
Yeah.
Because it was illegal in Detroit, but legal in Canada. But anyway, while I was in high school there, Father Cullen, who was the coach of the hockey team, said, you know, I told him I wanted to try out for the team. And he goes, well, you're not going to make it. We're pretty good, and you're not. But I have a job for you. They were moving inside to the Windsor Arena that year. He said, I need somebody to run the scoreboard and do the PA, and you can do that. And so I started when I was a junior in high school. And we had a pretty good high school team, Mike. Mike Eaves was on our team.
You were there when Mike Eaves was there, huh?
Oh, yeah. I called his games. I was kidding him when he was at St. Olaf. I said, Mike, here we are 49 years later, and we're back together again.
Yeah.
Now he's coaching at Cleveland in the American Hockey League. Eddie Meehl, who played in the NHL for a long time as a goaltender, was our high school goaltender, played at Colorado College. Gopher fans will remember him from Colorado College days years ago. So we had a pretty good team, probably at the Class A level, the good Breck, the good World, that sort of team. And I did the PA there, and then I came out to St. Thomas. That when it was the journalism school was pretty small at the time. We only had 16 in our journalism, and that counted the six girls from St. Kate's who came down, who were very popular, by the way.
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were. Everybody was listening. They go, yes, we were. And I started doing the PA at St. Thomas for Gus Schwartz. And then when they went to the Coliseum, I was doing their games. Dick Stanford was the PA announcer there. He got hired by the North Stars to do the PA, and so they said, well, let's get that kid from St. Thomas and have him do it, and I did the Coliseum for all those years, and that led to working the state tournament, because John Bartz, who was a official at the high school league, was also a referee.
Yeah.
He needed somebody to do the consolation games when they went to the two-class tournament, so I worked over at Mariucci for about 10 years as the king of consolation. I would always tell him in the section final, congrats on winning, you don't want to see me next week, you see me, you lost.
Consolation,
And then, when Bob Reed retired, I got asked to be moved into to work the state hockey tournament. I ended up in the basketball tournament strictly by accident. I was at a game, watching a friend of mine's son play, and Dick Stanford got ill at the game. He took ill, and Howard Voigt came over and said, you've done basketball, haven't you? And I go, yes, I lied.
Yeah.
And I literally went over there at halftime and finished the game, and Skip Peltier, who was running it, was so grateful that he gave me a couple games the next year, and it just took off from there. So this is actually my 50th year as a PA announcer. I still do I do St. Agnes's football games. I did their games this year. And I'm going to do some hockey games for St. Thomas Academy. Hopefully I'll get rehired by the high school league. They don't do that until after the first of the year. So I'm not going away on that. It's just the Hamlin job is a great job, great people. Jason Verdugo is a terrific athletic director. But it just got a little much. 20 teams and keeping up with it and Sunday soccer games. It just thought it was just time for someone else to do it. I wanted to go one more year, and then I realized in about the middle of September that I was just too tired.
Really?
Too tired to do it. And I figured this was a good time to leave because the fall season is just about over. The volleyball and soccer teams will wrap up their season tomorrow. Football's only got a couple of weeks left, and it can give the new person a chance to get in there just as hockey and basketball gets underway.
Explain what a sports information director does, because I know because we work so closely with you guys, but a lot of people probably don't even realize what that means.
No, in simple terms, you're responsible for all the stuff. So you do all the stuff on the website. You do all the statistical work. You send everything in to the newspapers, the wire services, to the NCAA, to your league office, and then you send them to the opposing SIDs. I write. I take pictures. I do all the stats. You hire a bunch of students, and you couldn't do the job without the students. The students have been, and that's, I think, the part I'm going to miss the most is some of those students were just, all of them were just really good to work with. And what was fun is as they got better, you didn't have to do as much because they knew their jobs. And the biggest thing, like on a home game, is you're trying to put out, say, this is a professional show. You tell the students, listen, I know these are your buddies out there, but no cheering here.
Yep.
Okay. And, and I'm just really a problem. For example, Cole Mayer, who's the video guy for the United, was a student at Hamlin. Terrific, and I knew he'd be really, really good. And he is really good. And when you see guys like that go out there and make successes of themselves, it's really fun to see. So I will miss that because you get really close to those students. You spend a lot of time with them. Spend as much time with them as they spend with their families during basketball and hockey. And on a Saturday, for example, on a routine Saturday, there'll be six, seven teams playing.
Yeah.
So the SID writes six or seven stories. Then you have to turn off your cross country mind and put on your swimming mind. And now you turn off your swimming mind and you go to your football mind. These are on games you haven't seen. Average course of a year, I added it up last year. In the last calendar year, I think the number was 1,016 stories
wow.
for the website.
And you got to make sure the spelling's correct and the grammar's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's painstaking.
It is, and like they say, a lawyer defends himself as a fool for a client. I'm editing myself, and a lot of times I'll see mistakes later that I missed right away.
Sure.
I'll look at them an hour later and go, geez, how did I misspell that name? And quickly correct it. That's the hardest part of it, is keeping track of all that and editing yourself and going back and editing yourself and editing yourself again. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see some of these programs go. It was tremendous fun, like, to see what Natalie has done with that hockey team from
yeah,
where
Garowitz,
she took
yeah.
Her first game, Mike, her first home game, 4 or 5 years ago, they lost to River Falls. I still remember it, 8-0. And she thought it was the end of the world. And I remember telling her, I said, Natalie, if this had been last year, it would have been 15-0.
She couldn't see that progress.
No, she couldn't.
Yeah.
Well, and to be fair to her, she comes out of D1, and now she's seeing a D3 team that she has to totally rebuild. Took it apart piece by piece and then put it back together, figured out what kind of players that she wanted, and now look at them. They're one of the best D3 teams in the country. It's remarkable to watch. So that's been the fun part. The hardest part is when you see your teams get beat and they're struggling, and that's hard, and particularly because you like those coaches. You build up rapport with them, and you hate to say, look, I got to talk to you afterwards, after a tough day. But they know, that you're on their side, but you also have a job to do. I took great pride in that and trying to make it as professional an atmosphere as possible because this is their big time. I mean, you were a college athlete. Those are the 20, 30 years later.
And you know what? We all live in a bubble. We think that it's the most important thing in our life at the time because to that point in our life, it's the most important thing almost, you know?
It is. And, you know, you talk about the intensity, and obviously at the pro level, there's a lot more skill. But the intensity of MIAC games, when they're well played, like last year when Hamlin was playing St. Thomas in the NCAA tournament, you know, that atmosphere was like a Stanley Cup game. I mean, there may have only been 900 or 1,000 people in the place, but that building was just alive from the start. And when you get a really intense game like that, that's what happens.
What's been your overall impression of the MIAC? Obviously, you know, everybody wants to talk about St. Thomas leaving right now, but set that aside for a second. As you get to know these student-athletes in general and you observe what you do, this is my takeaway, and I guess I'm biased because I'm a product of the MIAC, is I'm not worried about the next generation.
Oh, no. No, they're getting so much. They're so much better. Like on men's hockey, you know, maybe 5 years ago, you could still do this, but it's almost impossible to play men's hockey in the MIAC and not have played juniors.
Yeah.
The game is just too bad.
And I'm just
talking
about the quality of the kids because they really do have a sense of balance that they're there for a degree first, you know?
Yeah, they're student athletes in the truest sense of the word. I always thought the MIAC is Division III's version of the Ivy League.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to be students first. And, you know, I think one of the things that Jason did as athletic director that he can take great pride in is they have upped dramatically their number of academic all-conference people, academic all-Americans. To be academic all-conference, you have to have a 3.5 GPA. And you and I haven't been out of college that long to remember how hard that is to do.
I ended up with a 4.0. 1.0 as a freshman, 1.0 as a sophomore.
I was probably pretty close to the same thing at St. Thomas. You know, I just thought it was the night. I could only dream of 3.5.
How did the St. Thomas thing sit with you as an alum when you saw it all coming down?
Well, I honestly, Mike, I think they outgrew the league because the school has gotten so big, you know, and I think they've just outgrown the league.
And they want to be big. That's what they want to be.
Yes.
And Hamlin doesn't want to be big. Hamlin doesn't have any interest in being big.
Well, and they don't have any room to be big.
No, they have any room either. Neither does Augsburg, No.
I think it's funny you mentioned Augsburg because I think Hamlin and Augsburg as schools are very similar. They didn't cross the river from each other. But they're very similar schools in a lot of ways, and their kids are that way too. One of the great things that they did, here's a good example, is Hamlin and Augsburg's SAC, their Student Academic Athletic Committee, each year they do a Special Olympics basketball game with the Special Olympians. They play 1 year at Hamlin, the next year they play at Augsburg, and the Augsburg kids get in there with the Special Olympians, and the Hamlin kids get in with the Special Olympians, and it's something to watch.
That is cool. When is that?
It's usually in February. I don't know when it will be.
Sounds
this
like
year,
a good TV story to me, buddy.
Oh, it'd be a great TV story, you know. And those kids, you know, they get and they do two or three. You know, they'll do like a beanbag tournament and a bowling tournament together. Northwestern has been in on that too before. These kids, because these are all kids who they all know each other. They played with each other in high school or against each other.
Yep.
And a lot of times, they're after a game. You don't see it at the D1 level as much, but you see it at this level. They're shaking hands afterwards, and they mean it because they say, "All right, I owe you this summer. You won.
Yeah.
You know, I owe you a pop this summer." You know, and you know, a lot of them played with each other in high school, and so they know each other pretty well. And the coaches are teachers. They're still teachers in a lot of cases, and that's the other thing I'm going to miss is I build up pretty good rapport with a lot of those coaches and the referees the referees will tell you that those intense basketball games when you're playing a really good team are just as intense and sometimes even harder fought than D1 games because this is all they have. They're going for bragging rights. So very few of them are going to be pros. Every now and then you get one, but that's not what they're there for.
Yeah. So if you had to end it right now, if you weren't going to work again in anything, what would be your biggest highlight of your career so far in anything?
In anything? Man, that's a tough one. I would say being the two NCAA D3 hockey finals that I got to go to. Unfortunately, both of them they lost. St. Thomas lost up at Superior in the NCAA final, and Hamlin lost last year. But seeing them get that far, and knowing how far they had to come to get to that level.
And only the people that live it really understand that, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, in the case of hockey, they started out at Oscar Johnson Arena, which is a little nippy. We played a game there in which the temperature was minus three one time at game time. I whispered that to Corey Leyland. And to Corey, said, I saw the Lake Forest coach. He said, no, he'll leave. Don't do that.
Oh, man.
You know, and how hard these guys work. I mean, they're at 6 o'clock in the morning. They're in there.
Yeah, and now you got the best baseball stadium and hockey arena in the MIAC.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've come a long way from that, you know. And, yeah, it's fun to watch and to see how, that you know, like the MIAC baseball tournament, how good it has gotten. I wasn't there, unfortunately, when Jason took his team to the NCAA tournament the one year. That was just before I got there. You know, whenever an MIAC team gets there and they win it, you know, the league, you know, they may not be publicly cheering for him, but privately they're going, yep, there's one of our guys.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Hey, Dave, congratulations on a job well done. I know this doesn't mean that you're giving up working completely, so I look forward to seeing you around the rinks and everywhere else.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
You bet. Dave Wright.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.